I don't like being around people as much as I did when I was younger now. So it's,
I've gotten even more hermity. If I have an espresso martini at like 10 p.m., I can probably stay awake till 6 a.m.
My problem's not even standing up. It's just not wanting to be around people.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm just like, yeah, I know you guys. I've known you guys my whole life. Cheers.
That was just like me.
If you want to know what's going on with me, just listen to my podcast.
Yeah, seriously.
This is where I open up about life. Anyways, man, what's up?
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
I just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
Yeah, so how do you feel about interest rates?
No.
Got the go-to topic on the podcast.
What did you think I was going to say, Ranchi?
Are you feeling the pinch?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling the pinch. That's all we're talking about. We're not talking about any protests. I'm talking about anything else. We're talking about interest rates. Talk about practice and interest rates. Again, because we like real estate.
We're bringing the biggest... You know when you go to an uncle party? Holy shit, I look like I'm a swimmer. Anyways, you know when you go to uncle parties and the first thing all uncles do is sit around and talk about real estate and interest rates, even though they might not have a clue. Like, I don't have a clue. I just shit on what I read.
Are we uncles?
We fill that gap so perfectly. Like, it's beautiful.
It's legit. But you know what? Everybody's money's tied up and tight, right? So everybody's like sphincter's kind of tight. And then they want to talk about it. Maybe somebody will say something nice and then I can relax just a little bit, maybe like take a nice dump, you know, because no, I'm
it's
so
nice, or it's nice to be in pain together, right?
Or it's that, like it is.
Yeah. Yeah, group therapy. Oh, you know, he's going through it.
My renewal's coming up, yours too. Yeah, okay, we're both.
I've gotten to the point though where I've sat in a group and I remember this was a few months ago and I'd be like, yeah, you know, interest rates going up. And there's always a one real estate uncle in the group. Nay, the MAR, it's going to be back down all time lows. You know, they're just trying to scare you. And I would constantly look at this guy. I'm like, he says it so confidently, but I know you're wrong. I 100% know you're wrong, but he says it so confidently. I'm like, maybe he's on to, I don't know. This last interest rate seemed like blindside, even like the people in the know.
No, man.
I don't think so. The whole time.
Like, the market had picked up. The market had picked up, and I was like, oh shit, closings are happening again. And every sensible broker or real estate agent, or mortgage broker, real estate agent, or real estate broker I spoke to, like, nah, it's just like a month or two, maybe like right out the summer, but it's gonna crash again. The interest rates are going up. A lot of people called it. They're like, there's a minor blip. People relax. But yeah, all the seasoned people, they're all like, no, it's going to tank again. And it probably is. I think there's a...
My prediction was August. I think August, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. End of summer. So I locked into a 2-year, hoping that within 2 years we see a thing. But now I'm like, shit, should have probably done a 5-year. But we'll see.
But you can't, I mean, yeah. I think it's going to be hard times. I think it's key thing is save your money. That's the thing, right?
That's the problem, though. You save your money, all of a sudden inflation makes your money worth less. Yeah. So saving is a piece of poison too, you know what I mean? Give me that real estate uncle who fills me with hope and confidence.
We sound like every TikTok, Twitter right now. Leave your money in the bank.
That money in the bank, you may as well just burn it yourself. Yes, what you want to do. I saw this one guy, he's pretty popular. I don't remember his name right now. But his whole philosophy is you need to be like balls deep in debt. Like have debt so bad that like you should beg for debt. He's like, what I do to make money is I buy a house on debt, create some equity within that, and then I, you know, repackage it and get another loan on that debt. And he's just like,
sounds like someone who's over leveraged.
He just like he says leverage the hell out of yourself.
He's one of those uncles at the party right now.
he's like, guys, but his whole, as screwed as I am,
yeah,
his whole thing is leverage the hell out of it and then buy hard assets like land.
Yeah, that'll interest rates are low, right? I mean, artificially drove the price. Interest rates were low. Everyone's buying houses. The value of your properties goes up, but that's the only way you can refinance now.
But then he's going up. His way of
sitting up, demand goes down, prices go down. But you're in refinancing shit. You're sitting with a bag.
All this, which is that apparently immigration now is like starting to slow down, and we're not building houses. Where it's like, oh shit,
that's what else do we have here? Isn't that going to plateau us a little bit? And it's going to give us some time to catch up.
I mean, that was our only hope to keep this engine chugging.
The immigration.
There's no gas. Yeah.
There's a whole new push now to that immigrants are saying, you know, it's a lie. This immigration dream that they sell us, it doesn't work. You go to school, you do your PR, and now all of a sudden you're still not getting a job.
No one's selling them PR. That's the one thing that's not being spoken about. International student does not mean PR and citizenship.
No, but it is sold as an easier path.
That's your path. That's the easiest path, but that's not the reason why, you know. I mean,
okay, fair. But it's the path. It's like once you get that PR, though, you know, you'll be a Canadian and then you'll be able to work minimum wage legally. And that's where people are getting caught. Like, what the hell? There isn't really wealth or work opportunity
here. If you're born here working minimum wage, that's not an easy life, right? That's still hard.
I don't know.
So it doesn't matter if.
But then you go outside and you see these motherfuckers riding around in their, you know, Corvettes are like the new. Everyone has a Corvette these days, it seems. Chargers and Mustangs are the equivalent of what Camrys used to be.
Yeah, right. My 5.0 Mustang is a Civic now.
My Uber driver is showing up in a Rolls Royce. He's like,
I saw Q8 Uber the other day, like a Lyft. Sorry, Lyft. With they had the light on and everything. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah,
interest rates. Those interest rates.
Yeah,
but you know, going to the U.S. probably is a better. Yeah. Is that a better scenario right now for immigrants? I mean,
so I don't know about what wages are, but I was visiting one of my close friends. Out in Buffalo, and we've seen this comparison all over the place. Every freaking TikTok and Twitter guy does this. What property in Niagara Falls costs, and what a Niagara Falls in Buffalo, New York costs, right? Yeah. And then
everybody's seen. My parents have seen that.
They love that. But you cross over into Niagara Falls, Buffalo, and you're like, this place is a dump. You're like, why would anyone want it? then you wonder, it's like, why is this place a dump? But I was like, he lives in a nice part of town, and I was like, dude. And he's like, yeah, sometimes I want to move back to Toronto. I was like, fuck that. You got it going here, man. This is life. Your income's high. Your cost of living's low. I'm like, that's the dream right now. You're milking it. Just chill. And he's like, really? I'm like, trust me. What you got here, $4 million in Toronto left it. Just chill. Wow. You're living the life. Huh?
I got to visit him too. A whistling invite.
Yeah. Now you just say, hey, I want to cross the border. What's up? He's like, yeah, reach. He loves everyone coming down. They're locked there. Yeah. But it's crazy right now, man. Like the cost of living in, I don't know if it's the same in California, because I heard California's taxed out the ass just like we are. And, the, you know, property's just as expensive. Actually, California might not be a good example, but you think some of these smaller cities like the Milwaukee's, the Buffalo's, if you're willing to like, you know, readjust, make a base there, you're chilling, man.
Do you think it's, do you think they shouldn't settle in Toronto? Edmonton, or is that the idea that, well, you go to a cheaper place to live?
Well, they were coming here and look, you know, an unspoken thing. They're getting the cash job at the restaurant or at the hotel or something like that, right? So they were getting by until they got like a proper job that would put them back in the stream of going towards PR. But now in the GTA, those jobs are drying up. You can't find those either. However, like the whole time, you know, there's jobs available in North Bay and Sudbury and in Kingston and Kenora, you know, there's jobs out there. Just go. And that's just Ontario. I mean, I'm sure you'll find jobs in you know, Manitoba and Saskatchewan as well. Just go. But people are locked in and being, you know, it's FOMO. You want to be in the GTA, right?
Well, that's where all the parties are.
You moved here from Bombay. You moved from Delhi. You moved from Chandigarh. You're going to tell your friends, like, now I live in Saskatoon? Like, what's that?
No, but I think the people who are willing to move out to some of the more rural areas, they're the ones actually benefiting from that Canadian dream and like, that Canadian promise. 100%. You know, it's the people who left lofty lives.
let's look at the analogy of the U.S., right? It's like you saying, well, I'm going to go to the U.S., but I'm going to stay in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And life's probably not going to be very affordable for you, right? Right away. So it's the same idea. Like, you're going to have to go to areas where you can actually have a shot.
Even Calgary, yeah, though, now I was like looking at the other day.
But do you think it's the country promoting the dream, or is it us Punjabis ever promoted the Canadian dream to Punjab? Like, come here, have this big house, blah, blah, blah. I mean, that's not even normative for most Canadians.
I feel like Punjabis push that dream, no?
That's what I mean. It's our people pushing the dream. And then when these kids are coming over, they're like, well, life's not really like this.
You know? No, no, wait. But like, look, the work ethic and the grind of a guy who came from Punjab, even now, compared to someone who's born here, is very different, right? They don't got that work-life balance.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
They don't have that, like, I need to take care of my kid just as much as my wife does. They don't have that date night mentality, right?
Yeah, but I mean, I guess what I'm saying is in
they're going to grind.
They're kind of view of success, what they deem to be, this was the right choice, I'm there. Is that just some unreachable target that they've just... I'm going to have this 5,000 square foot house, these cars, this and that, or is it just, I'm going to live in Canada, have a house, raise my kids. That's what I mean. Is the, when they're saying Canada's a ripoff, what do they mean by that?
I mean, for a lot of people, I think the choice is, do I go back to India where, you know, the political system's so like skewed and the chance of my kid having a good life are messed up, or do I put the effort in now, sacrifice my, time, and my kid will be chilling like these kids are here.
It's, do I want a career and independence, or do I want to just live off income, passive income from land, from my farmland or my commercial land in India? I don't have a career, but I have Bahadur driving me around, and I have Minnie cooking me meals, and I have Kumari washing my clothes, right? Okay, well, you know, I can live in a shoebox in the city and have a career, not have any savings whatsoever, and my retirement will be solely based on me moving back to India someday, or I might as well just go back now. That's you're kind of hitting that break-even point where it's not worth it anymore.
A lot of people just getting their PR passports.
Some families, for a lot of families, actually, still will be. The kids who, you know, their families have like two, 3 acres, or leveraging it, sending their kid here, they're going to have more earning potential than they do back home. But for a lot of people who are from middle-class India, for example, I'm just using India as for an example, insert China, insert Mexico, anybody who's middle-class in those developing up-and-come countries, it might not be worth it anymore. They might have a better time back in Mexico, China, India, et cetera, Korea.
Only Toronto, you're saying, right? I mean, it's still...
Yeah, Toronto, Vancouver. Yeah.
I think it's still a value to go to, you know, Alberta or something like that.
I heard there's lots of affordable houses in Calgary, right? I was getting sold on that.
I was looking at it, though. I was looking at checking out what's available just so I could feel bad about life. I was looking down Calgary, and I'm like, you know what? Calgary isn't that much cheaper. It's cheaper. Oh,
I thought it was considerably less.
I mean, so my house right now, say it's 1.4. In Calgary, I can get, or 1.3, let's not get too crazy. 1.3 in Calgary, you can get that for 800, 820, but closer to the city, obviously, right? So it's not an hour drive from the city. I don't know if that's a fair comparison, but like looking at land value versus like square footage and like yard space, I was just like, if I'm moving from here, am I really moving just to join, be closer to the city for that much? I don't know. And like I was looking at what like an estate home here costs and an estate home there costs, you're looking at the same sort of distance from the city, and you're looking at, you know, harsh winters.
Harsh winters.
Like all the houses there with like the nice bougie ones, all advertise heated floors and like fully conducted like flooring.
It is Canada. So
yeah, so but we don't, you know, it's different.
I don't mind the winter. I might be able to do it. I just have too much family here.
I could do winter, but for me, same as you, it's the roots. It's hard to be that far from everyone. Yeah. Even if I don't care to go outside too much.
Would you push your kids out?
Nah, I don't know.
Like, yeah. Tell them to kind of like, oh, go different parts of Canada and try to make life there. It'll be better for you. Or would you say, yeah, stick around in Toronto?
That's on them. I wouldn't. I'd be like, just get, I can afford a ticket. Live like within half an hour of an airport. Hour of an airport. House
between 20s to 30s, I would push them out of the house as much as possible. If they come back, they come back.
30s.
20 to 30. 20 30, to 30. 30.
20 I mean, to 30. All right. Just talking about getting pushed out, though. You see Bonnie? She announced that she's officially ready to push out Doug and going up for the Liberal leadership.
I mean, where were we leaving things off last pod, 2 weeks ago? So 2 weeks ago, we said she's probably going to run. She's being coy, but she's running, right? She had the website up at the time.
Yeah.
So now she has a kickoff. We already said she's playing master chess. You know, she beat the maneuvering on this. I feel like she's an easy W, man. Like, she could be Doug Ford, like, policies, but just put a Liberal sticker on it, and that will win over a lot of people. Because he governs like a Liberal himself. Like
him. That's the thing now. There's another character, you know, to
she's polished. Yeah.
I mean, last time, who was it? Who was the last guy? I don't even remember his name. The bald Liberal leader. Forgot his name. In the last election.
The mayor of Woodbridge.
Whatever it is. And I think Andrea. I think she was. She still running?
Was the NDP.
Yeah, so nobody wants to really vote for them anyways. Now you actually got a character.
A leader that people can get behind.
A household name.
Mayor, a whole city behind her.
Who's got the torch from Hazel.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, man. Like, she could say Ontario Place needs to be a spa and smile in front of it, and it would go down easier compared to Doug Ford doing it. She could say the green belt needs to get developed because we're locked in and we need development. And she could just smile and I'll get passed. She could say we need the 413, even though she used to say, no, we don't.
And I mean, she's done that.
Contradict yourself now and it'll win. It'll win because it's a better thing.
I mean, I hear your points. I think Doug's in for maybe a bit of a fight here. A bit of a fight. I'm curious though, because she said a lot of dirty shit about Brampton in the past, right? Like when she was pushing this whole saga of freedom.
It's not Brampton. It's going to be all the area that hate Doug.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think the hate for Doug's that strong? Like, do you encounter people who really just hate Doug for the sake that
he's a conservative? Mississauga versus Brampton thing over this like Peel division thing isn't there. It's like we talk about it. It is like on a policy level. It is for people in but not for the average Joe. They don't give a shit. So that's not there. So she could have said that Mississauga is better than Brampton, and then Brampton's going to vote in masses for her when it comes to just voting Liberal because they want to vote Liberal. They just need a reason.
A reason. It'll be funny though what he does in the next, I guess, year, whatever. How many times was it? 4 years, 3 years left. When was the last election?
2 years ago.
Does this?
Is it, a year and a half. Year and a half. Just happened. It's like a year and a half, right? Right before the council.
It was a year ago.
Okay. Yeah. You're probably right. It was whatever.
I don't know. Whatever it was, he has a few years. It'll be interesting to see his policies going forward. There's some sense of urgency to push through some stupid ones because he thinks he's going to lose, or if he's going to do calculated kind of policies to ensure his victory for the next election. So,
and I'm not saying like it's a Liberal sweep already or something like that. Like, no, there's lots to see, but there's definitely an uptick now automatically on the leader level. But if she fields out like terrible candidates all over 905, like she's done, right? Because you know they have. PC has done a good job getting some good candidates all over, and they've kind of like have a base.
Do you think if
she puts up a couple of viable people in key ridings, like that's all it might take.
More people might actually go for the ridings because they feel like there's
a good leader that might get them elected
to win, and you know, some a caliber of a leader that you know they want to run next to them. So. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe last time around it was just like realtors and brokers thinking I'll just get my name out there and run.
You're going to lose anyway.
Like professors and like other professionals.
Yeah.
Maybe putting a name for it because they're like, all right, this is it. This is like an actual chance at it because you got a leader now.
Now, I don't know if this is like universally true, but as far back as I can remember, anytime we've had a Liberal federal government, we've had provincial. Actually, it's not totally true because we did have like the liberal.
We had Wynne and Trudeau at the same time.
Yeah. Anyways, they say overall, or I don't know if they say this overall, but I remember reading something about how a lot of times the provinces will flip-flop between federally across provincial one way, federal another. If Trudeau now loses, does that kind of add weight to, you know, we need to go liberal now? We can't just have all these conservatives just running things.
I mean, it does. That does push a lot of people who have no idea what politics is and just look at colors. So yeah, for them, they'll be like, oh, Team Blue's winning federally, and need Team Red to win provincially now.
Or they say, hey, part of me thinks it's not even them switching teams saying, hey, I got to go with the opposite of that team. It's, hey, my team didn't win. Now we got to, I'm more inspired and more active to make sure I go out to vote to make sure my person wins because I was taking it light last time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I say this all the time. Our Ontario conservatives are not conservative. They're pretty liberal.
Yeah, they're just a little less leaning.
Liberal wearing a blue dress, right? So
small C conservatives or big L.
Yeah, exactly. So like that's why they're pretty palatable policy wise. Anyways, anybody who just looks at stickers will be like I know people personally who'll be like, how can you support the blue team? Like, that's all they see, conservative name, and that's it. And they get an allergy, right? So yeah, if PP wins federally, then next election, like add that to the momentum. If Bonnie is the leader, there's other people running for leadership too, but nobody carries that weight so far.
That's pretty strange at that point because like in America, it's so partisan. If you're Republican, you're just Republican. You don't usually flip flop between parties. Like that's what you are and that's how you vote. It's I hope we never get there actually. I think it's kind of nice that you keep switching and keep changing things, and change is good. We need change.
It gets that pendulum kind of staying.
This guy's just PP. He's just smiling. Eh? He knows PP's coming.
You guys know PP's coming too, man. Where it's like R. Kelly's dream right now.
Trudeau hate is bad.
Yeah, Trudeau's gonna lose. Yeah, it's so you never know. Minority.
Like it's palatable, man. It's bad. Oh my god.
But Pierre is kind of he's in an interesting thing, right? Because he seems like you know everybody wants him. And then he's doing things, and all of a sudden he's being criticized by the same people who were loving him a week prior.
The stumble,
yeah,
the CPC stumbles. Here they come.
Yeah. So like the ones that he was recently criticizing, he criticized that Brampton float, then the Gandhi float in the Brampton Nagar Kirtan, and he's like, you know what? That's not. We shouldn't tolerate that kind of stuff. And then he met with some. Famous, infamous Swami, who's like very pro Modi BJP type guy, and so a lot of like the Sikh votes, like, look, he's just using us. He's really in with them.
He's using everybody. Come on.
My thing is, he's just.
I'm gonna start off with something controversial.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. That flow.
He can get his. Gary, you know how much money he must have got in donor money? Come on, that's the way it works, right? There's a reason why someone would put up a random statement like that. He's been told to. He's probably had some funding come in, and then he shows up at these events. That's how it works. We don't want to talk about it, but that's how it works, right? So, yeah, he's a scumbag. They all are scumbags. I'm sure the liberals do the exact same thing. But it's funny that he's crossing these lines when they just start looking at international influence on our politics. You'd think that all party leaders would be a little bit more careful right now. But, you know, it is what it is. So.
What's up, Reggie? I feel like
you're That flow, I had to take a double take. Although, did she really have her hands up? Is this historically accurate? Man, that's a float. I've always seen pictures, right? But look, yo, PP calling it out. I gotta say this. All right, there's two lenses here. Anybody who does not have even like a remote Indian, I'll say Indian, not even Punjabi, not Sikh, Indian inkling in their body, like so they're Canadian, you know, or North American or European. That would hurt your sensibilities. That makes no sense, that flow. Okay? From that lens, I get it. But if you're somewhat dissy, you see it all the time. Like, it's normal to celebrate taking down tyrants or any, you know, bad figure in history. I mean, we have whole religious holidays. Every religion in India, every group in India, like, they have a whole, like, Dasara and all that. It's like blowing up Ravan, who was like a, if you believe that it's not, you know, mythology in his history, then he was a tyrant. He was a bad guy and he got killed and we celebrate that. Like, India celebrates that. It's normal. It's normal to celebrate violent events that were uplifting for whole communities and people and religions, etc., etc. So in that lens, if you look at it from a Desi lens, it's totally normal. From a Canadian or somebody who's not from that world or doesn't even know anything about that, yeah, it could hurt your sensibilities. But PP should know better.
PP should know better. It doesn't even matter what it does that need him commentary? And then you question why he's commenting on it. Like, it's so obvious, man. Like, he has to be smarter than that.
I mean, I don't know if it's a bad move. He hugged a Sikh. Now he's got to hug some Hindus and, you know, get both votes.
Does he need to pander that much? He's a leader of the Conservative Party. He literally is a shoo-in for... He doesn't need to do nothing. He's going to win. He doesn't need to do this. He
win.
He's just quiet. Just be quiet and just support him.
He doesn't need to shoot threes. He just needs layups the whole way.
Talking about shooting threes, he was at that student protest where the deportation. He was one of the only leaders to show up there.
No. Oh, yeah, leader. Yeah, you're right. I mean, you may be right.
Jigmeet showed up, but I mean, what's he really leading these days, right? He's going to be in a minivan soon enough.
That's good. He's still a leader of a party.
But I'll give Ruby her flowers. I heard she did a good job helping the students out on the back end.
I mean, look, the Liberals ended up getting it done. They're the ones who controlled all the cards, and they said, you know what? Here's your stay. Someone I was talking to who's really close to, like, Liberal policies or who used to work in immigration was just like, bro, this is like run-of-the-mill visas. Like, these stays happen all the time. The fact that this one got drawn out so publicly is probably what slowed it down. But he's like, if it was quiet, it would probably just pass, because he's like, these aren't complicated visas. But maybe they had to go public to get them. Maybe the Liberals are slowing down on them. But back in the day, I heard, like, and this is, was 6 years ago, 7 years ago, he's like, they were really common. People would ask for extension stays or different reasons for stays, and it would happen.
Is it Canadian Border Services?
It's CBSA policy, right? That's been around since Harper Conservatives. It's not new.
Yeah.
Old stock.
Yeah, this has been around. This is like this process has been there for a time. And it's just unfortunate that these kids got swindled.
I'm just saying the owner should be on the colleges and just, you know, any kind of way to track all this. Like, how did that many kids get in with, like, it still doesn't make sense.
Why can't there be a portal that CBSA can verify admission from the university?
Hold on, they actually went to school?
They get to school, that's when they realize, hey, we don't have a seat for you. You're not in our system.
And yeah, what do they do?
They try to find a seat.
They figure out how to sell the situation. Like, now what am I going to do? Right?
So they probably go to another college, try to get admission.
CBSA is just going to look at the letter and be like, you have admission.
Yeah,
that's still on the colleges, man. The colleges need to tighten up.
But it's not even on the big colleges. A lot of these guys are going to these small, like, weird
private colleges
that, you know, are just in the sole business of turning these guys over.
The government needs to turn and say there has to be a little bit more control.
Yeah. Right? I think
they have it for other visas. Let me just give you an example. Like, you know, when companies hire skilled employees overseas, they have to, like, pay a certain fee, it generates a certain code, and then that's submitted in part of the application. That's verifiable because that fee is paid directly to Immigration Canada, okay? But
why is it not implemented here?
I mean, for students, it's like, you know, letters are going out, and there's no portal or no verification, no code generated to verify that, yeah, this is an authentic admission. The student is actually going to the university. It's a simple fix.
It doesn't even sound complicated.
But it's a simple fix.
You know when situations are so fixable, but they're not? It almost seems like they're intentionally left open.
Possible.
You know, they're like, look, if we make like this kind of bonus on schools,
verifying maybe people's incomes with CRA.
Yeah. It's like there's this.
It's one of those. It really is.
Yeah. But no, it's good on the students for, you know, the protest. What, week long, 24 hour, just sitting outside, getting it done. And it's great because now, you know, Pierre gets to take credit for, we went there, we spoke and we pressured. The liberals get to take credit because they actually got it done. Jagmeet gets to say he was there, even though, you know, I don't think I saw one of his videos shared anywhere.
Do you think Pierre will actually do anything?
PP, I saw the local MPPs from the liberals, and that's about it.
Do you think Pierre is actually going to do anything for these communities he's pandering to once he's in power?
Slightly help him a little bit, but not, you know, I mean, I don't consider him like hard, like he's not going to ruin life for us. I feel like whenever government's coming in, I was talking to this with my liberal hating group, I was like, you know, Pierre is not going to change life that much, even though, and I'm like, Trudeau didn't ruin life that much, but I said that and they were ready to kick me out of the group. I was like, you know, I'm like, tell me, what did Trudeau really do that?
Homers are the worst, eh? Homers are terrible.
What was the argument? What do they think he's done?
Bro, I got a friggin' bucket list and I was like, all right, my bad, I'm sorry.
Okay, aside from the vaccination stuff, let's put that aside.
It's not even vaccination. Right. They have like legit economic issues that they think Trudeau bricked. And they're just like, honestly, this guy's an idiot. Are standing in this. And they all to their point, they're not baseless. Like they have gripes as to, look, before Trudeau, this is how this process used to work. And now with him, he doesn't even, they're like, even the friggin' bureaucrats he brought in with him, like those ministries, they don't even know how some of this stuff works. Like maybe there's someone smart in there, but they're like, this guy is just brain dead. And a lot of these guys were liberals. These guys were liberals at one point. So I think part of it is we buried ourselves, like this regret, like we caused our own current misfortune by supporting him.
I think Trudeau tries to be the nice guy, and if he just stops doing that, he'll be okay. It doesn't mean you have to be nice to everybody. Just do the job, right? Say what you want to do. Say what you want how to do it. You don't have to be nice to everybody. It's too nice.
I remember the one tangible thing that really annoyed me about Trudeau early on was when he changed the TFSA allotment. It used to be 10K a year. He brought it back to 5, and I was so annoyed. Like, I'm finally able to earn an income to put in the CFSA, and you lower the friggin' thing. And then... Mm-hmm. I did learn this cute TFSA trick, though. The TFSA size balloons with whatever's inside it. Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know about the balloon. So if you have like something in there that, you know, grows by 5 times, your TFSA size is now 5 times, which it was prior, even after you take money out. So.
Yeah, it's just whatever your growth stays in your TFSA, yeah.
No, but even if you withdraw it, next time around, you can put that much back in.
Yeah, for sure.
So. I was like,
the gun thing put me off the liberals. That made no sense to me. The handgun ban.
This sounds like a hating Trudeau podcast. Let's go.
hey.
He's just not liked. So
I'll say this. He comes across weak on foreign policy. I don't know if Pierre's going to do any better. I don't really think he will. I don't, you know, but he does seem weak. He came out, he was like, I got so many sick MPs. And then he friggin' castrated all of them. They could do nothing good for six, even though we celebrated so many sick MPs, because obviously he recognized how much funding he got from the sick MPs. I don't know. I'm ready for a change, low-key. I'm just kind of like,
But you really think he's the strong leader that's going to...
Look, he's going to have, 3 sick MPs, maybe. Will he make how many of them? 2 ministers? That'd be cool. Maybe 1. That's even... That's okay with me too.
No, when's his deputy right now?
Yeah.
Tim, right?
When's his deputy? He's a party deputy.
And Bob's going for a seat. You can tell he was right there.
And then what's his face? Minister. What's his name? The other Sadad, man.
Just Sadad.
He's always in the video.
Yeah. He'll probably get something good.
Yeah,
we're already talking like he's winning anyway.
Yo, look, Pierre for federal, Bonnie for provincial. Is that what you guys are predicting?
That's there's a good chance both of those can happen.
But I like Ford, man. Ford, Banda Sarda, like I'm down to see him come again.
The Dougler, man.
You want to see change No, in the provincial, no. Okay.
Yo, look, we went 16 years of liberal corruption. I'm here for like some sanity. One, Doug saw
this. You think the Dougler brings sanity?
Yo, carbon tax, got rid of it at the gas stations, reduced it. We don't, that's huge in this friggin' current climate. Like, friggin' Bonnie wants to put that back. Bonnie's gonna have us tax out the balls, man. Don't vote Bonnie.
He's left. He left. In protest.
He was, yeah, that's great protest. He wasn't impressed.
In solidarity with Bonnie, right?
Yeah, Bonnie's got this guy. No, I'm not down with Bonnie. I don't know. When you guys said uncles love Bonnie, I was like, really? Why? I didn't know that was that unanimous.
Have you been
to a Bengal
outside of like us?
I told you at the start, I don't do parties. I don't like leaving my house, man. See this room in the video? This is my cell. And this is my happy place right here in this little window that I'm boxed in.
Bonnie.
Anyways, talking about politicians really screwing things up. Trump got charged officially. Oh, not charged, but he got acquitted. Not acquitted. What's the word?
Indicted.
Has he been indicted?
He's been indicted. He was arrested and he was going to be going in and getting his prints taken and stuff.
Yeah, he got processed in Florida. This time is different, eh? Like, compared to the other ones, like, what? He has that case with the sex worker? Or do you say porn star? What's the correct term? Whatever it is, that's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to say.
Randy's trying not to offend anyone.
Adult video star.
Not there to you offend go. Anybody. Anyways,
the person who does the naughty, naughty come.
Yeah, the naughty, naughty come. And then he has that civil case which he lost to the journalist or writer who said he sexually assaulted her. So he lost that. The July 8th hearings. And then now he got hit up for having all this top secret confidential information. Yeah. And, you know, he's not apologizing. Like, my understanding is other politicians in the past have, like, gone home after being taken out of office with, like, top secret stuff. And they're like, oopsies. And they give it back. Sometimes they give it back right away. Sometimes they give it slowly. Biden himself, you know, gave it back slowly. But they all say oopsie and they cooperate. Trump is just like, no, I don't have it. I don't have anything. No, no, no. Then it's like, that's not mine, that's not mine. Then it's like, it's a hoax. This is all a hoax. It's like, even his planter or some shit, I don't know. So because he's not cooperating, he's getting charged under the Espionage Act, which comes like hefty, could potentially come with some hefty punishment. But the funny thing was, like, all this time, even in the past scandals and charges, all the other Republican candidates were like quiet and not quiet. They're always supporting him. They're always like, oh, this is like, you know, abuse of justice, abuse of process. It's a witch hunt. But now, like, they're starting to sound off on him. And that's the difference. And people, like, there's a general understanding that this one will probably stick and might hurt.
You know what? I kind of knew that things were probably getting a little rough.
Push it till past the election.
Well, I kind of realized that times were tough for Trump when he was having problems acquiring lawyers. No law firm really wanted to work with him. They're like, yeah, they're looking for a new thing. His current team all quit and they will not be joining him again after Friday. They're shopping around and he's gone through like three big firms now. I also wonder what kind of retainer Trump probably has to pay for law, like for his lawyers, because you know, he has a reputation.
Lawyers keep quitting on him, right? So
they see the case built against him, like, yo, what the fuck do you want us to do? That's when you know you're messed up, right? When the lawyers look at the case and they're like, yo,
just take the L, bro.
Yeah. And they're like, look, I think there's also that fear because Trump was notoriously known for not paying his bills prior.
Really? Oh, yeah.
There was an article today where he walked into a Cuban restaurant in Miami, said free food for everybody, and left without paying the bill. Come on, you can't write that shit up. You can't make any of that up. And it's true, it's in the news.
Man, that's messed up. You know who's also really bad at paying bills? Apparently, Elon.
Really?
Elon. The billionaire? Yeah, the billionaire. He's got lawsuits from all his property managers who own Twitter offices, saying ever since Elon took over Twitter, he stopped paying rent on his offices.
That share price tank from Twitter really hurt him, eh?
These are like prime locations. And it's
probably just trying to get kicked out of his lease.
Yeah, maybe. And he even like publicly quoted saying, we're not paying you guys a penny. I've heard complaints from like small business owners who did work for Twitter saying, you know, we sent them our invoices and they just never got paid. And these are people who say, look, this is a big chunk of our company's income because we're not like a big corporate thing. Not happy about that. And there was one more case. Oh, at Google. Apparently he hasn't paid his like Google Cloud management bills in a bunch of for a long while. That's so funny. So I feel like with rich people have this thing of, we're rich, we have the money, but we don't want to pay it. Come sue us for it. And then they negotiate a lower rate of repayment.
Which is lower than what they owe.
Yeah. So I feel like that's just like the rich person's strategy. Whereas if you're poor, they're like, you can't afford the lawyer to help you negotiate that thing anyway. So you're better off just paying whatever. But rich people love lawyers. It's the only bill they pay.
Buy some time. Yeah. Pay the retainer. That retainer will save you like a couple of hundred million. That's fine.
Oh, man. It's interesting times. Moving right along, Bo. You guys follow the finals for either sport? For me, the finals were such duds in both sports, but the NBA finals were like crazy ratings. I wasn't expecting the ratings to be as high because I lost interest, obviously. And the NHL, I understand why the ratings there suck. I stopped caring once the Leafs were out.
Yeah, no. I mean, just to recap, it was, you know, Miami and the Nuggets in the NBA, and it was Florida, aka Miami, versus Vegas, Las Golden Knights.
Only play a Punjabi. I didn't realize they had Punjabis were minority owners.
Yeah, they had Vegas has minority Punjabi owners. It's pretty cool.
It's cool.
Yeah, Nidja family.
Oh wow.
Like Jart.
Jart,
yeah. Say what you're trying to say.
Oh damn.
Yeah. It was crazy because Miami in both sports was the 8th seed. And even crazier, like the only reason Florida Panthers got in is because the last game, Penguins, they lost. So it wasn't even on their own merits because another team had to lose. That's how they got in. And then all the way to the finals. So it goes to show like how crazy sports can be. But at the end, like both series, it was a beating, man. It was not even close. I mean, look, they made the Nuggets and Heat. It was a close final game, but the series wasn't close. They're totally outmatched. Everybody knew if they didn't sweep them, they went in 5 or 6. There's no way it was going to 7. Same thing with Panthers and Vegas. Look, it's kind of crazy, but like, you know, Tkachuk was playing with a broken sternum. And what's his face? Oh, that big defenseman on Florida. He was playing with a broken foot and like a couple other, 4 broken bones he had. He was playing 4 broken bones. He was playing like whole series, 3-4 series. Crazy, right? Battle. Yeah, that's crazy Warriors. But it sucks, man. They were both at the end, like completely out of gas and completely unmatched.
Still,
NBA ratings are what they are, but in NHL, they're just 2 small market teams. No one's going to pay attention.
Still success for those 2 respective teams. Might have not won, but from where they came, those are incredible runs that will be remembered by their fan base forever. 8 seeds coming from nothing.
The 12 people who watched them. They'll celebrate it for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Power time, right?
Yeah, if that was the Raptors, we'd be all over that. We'd be like, yeah, we lost the finals, but man, what a great run.
They're a small market, right? They're not a small market team either. Denver kind of is.
Denver's considered a small market, but at the same time, Jokic, I think he won everyone over. They're like, it's time to go home. Yeah. Everyone comparing him to like.
Right, eh? He really does. He's so relatable.
Yeah.
He's such a relatable person.
He's a working man. He's just, it's like, I won. Time to go home.
Yeah. Job one. I got to come back. I just want to go chill, man. Stop this.
Yeah, he's like, basketball is something I'm good at. It's not like everything. Yeah.
On that team, it's not even the team. It's his brothers. They're awesome. Yeah. They're jokes. Always lifting the coach and shit.
He's such like a... They say he's the hero.
MVP trophy, right? He lost it already.
He lost it, yeah.
He said he lost it the night. He left it in the trainer's room or equipment manager's room, and he's like, I don't know where it's going. He's like, oh, whatever. You guys know I got it, I guess.
Yeah, he's going back to his country to ride horses or whatever he does.
He races horses.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. This guy is something else. Every interview I watch of his, his annoyance at like the dumbest things, the quote where someone's like, he's like, you know, no one really loves their jobs, and if they do, they're lying. I was like, man, can you hate what you do anymore? But like, I don't know, Jokic.
He's going to talk about this. I was struggling. This was a struggle you tell his kid.
One of my favorite quotes was, it came out in the playoffs, like, you just had a kid. How's that, you know, reframe your life and help you in your, you know, how does that help you in your basketball game? He's like, it doesn't. Why would that help me?
I mean, it's refreshing to hear, like, just like telling reporters that's a stupid question, right?
Whereas you know what the reporter wants to hear, like, yeah, you know, I saw my kid and I really wanted to win it for them, so they saw they have a legacy to turn to. He's like, man, it's just a kid, whatever, I played basketball.
They need to ask him about the game. That's all it is. Talk about the game. That's his job, and he'll answer and he wants to go home. But big up to Jamal Murray, right?
Yeah, because your man's...
Wouldn't I mean, win for Canada either way, right? Lowry wins, great. Jamal wins, great. Canada wins either way.
Lowry, the honorary Canadian?
He's an honorary Toronto citizen. Even though he will probably never visit Toronto again after he retires, settle down in Philadelphia or go somewhere nice like Miami and just be like, this is home now. But hey,
he won a chip here. It's always going to be special for him.
It'll be special for him, but it's not where he'd probably want
to spend. Enough for him to be involved. I can see him being involved with the Raptors organization after retirement.
I mean, I can see him coming up for golf tournaments, do some charity work here, but I don't think this is where he sees everything happening in Canada. He's like, you know what? Maybe, actually, that's a weird way to put it.
Likes, I think he likes the weather in Miami. That's why he picked it.
I don't blame him.
I don't blame him for that either.
But let me put it this way. I see him, if he has that tickle to be in the front office of an organization somewhere, he would do it in Toronto.
If he wants to retire, he's a caliber
of
personality. That's what he wants to do.
He's really good leadership, apparently. Like everyone talks about, like, that was the thing that he brought to the Raptors was his leadership. And even Miami, they're like, he's a really good locker room guy.
So if you want him as part of your organization, your front office, like if Masai wants him to be involved in the organization and, you know, Kyle doesn't want to leave basketball, then I see him doing it in Toronto.
Yeah.
Maybe we can take a bet on it. Anybody?
I'm a gambling type. Although I did read somewhere that this one big gambling site is now doing Special Olympic betting for the first time or something is open. So I don't know if that interests you. Yeah, the Special Olympics are, there's like some betting site made released a press release saying.
Why not?
Yeah. Anyways, talking about, you know, teams losing. How'd you hear Khalsa Cup go?
Yeah, we lost in the finals. It was.
He decided to bring that up.
Well, here, it's for some context. It was my niece's second birthday. I showed up to my sister's house, left to play in the finals. I was injured. I only played a couple of games.
The story as if the whole team's success relies on him.
Wait, I was injured. I went and played because my team needed me. I left my niece's birthday, and they were, you know, playing it on, on YouTube. So everybody at the house is watching during the party, and Amrinder, he was the commentator. I guess he didn't realize I was playing. He was roasting us pretty good. He was like, it's young kids versus old guys. And we lost 2-1, and my family let me have it. Like, you missed a party to go play this game and you lost, and you guys are getting roasted. You guys are so old and slow compared to this young buck team. I was like, it was 2-1, and they only scored at the end. Like, oh, whatever. Anyways, it was bad. But, you know, I was really bitter when I was thinking this, but, and I'm kind of wrong, but I'll just say it anyways. Calsa Cup, the trophy should be renamed. It should be renamed.
Why is that,
Branji?
Because this year, like, it's... Oh, okay. I'm going to look like an asshole, but whatever. It's non-Calsa guys, non-sick guys, who are drinking out of the cup now after anyways. I'm not... Punjabis probably wouldn't. Maybe they would. They probably wouldn't.
Waited for a Munna to step up for the Calsa Cup.
Yeah. Just name it like the Bhagat Singh Cup or something like that. I don't know, man. Like, keep it Punjabi if you want.
It's for everybody.
Yeah, but like, Calsa Cup.
Now, respectful thing, don't give the cup away because we don't want you guys drinking out of the cup with the name on it. Celebrate it. You still won the championship, but just don't drink out of the cup.
It's going to happen.
All right, but here's my question to you. Knowing that you, the Punjabi Sikh team in the finals, you know, you're playing for the Khalsa Cup. How the hell did you guys lose? Where's your Arnak?
Arnak?
I mean, it stings a little bit, but look, it's an open tournament to everybody. There are tournaments, like, there's a lot of, like, in Canada, like, the Muslim community has tournaments locked in to just Muslim community. I think they're about it, though. Everybody else probably has, like, open tournaments. I don't
should think be open.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though. Let's go Bhagat Singh Cup or something.
Yeah, do something like, did you keep it? Keep the theme. I mean, I don't know. Just rename it. Rename it.
It reminds me of that meme. I don't know if you guys saw that meme. It's like, how much Khalsa are you?
And... Yeah, I know. People chugging out of the Khalsa Cup kind of sounds funny, right? It's like, yeah, we chug beers out of Khalsa Cup. It sounds terrible.
Don't have a cup. Just make it a tournament and give medals out. Call it a day.
There you go. Solution.
Yeah, everyone gets it.
Wow. Take the organizers. Make them listen to us. Make them listen to us.
You know what I really like? I like how the WWE now gives out commemorative belts for, like, championships. So, like, they had one for, I think it was the Denver Nuggets. They made one for the Nuggets.
Did they?
And okay. Triple H is like, you know, here, Jokic. You didn't get the MVP. You may have lost that one, but here's this. And I think a lot of athletes who grew up with wrestling at a certain point, they like the idea of the belt, like that heavyweight belt or something, like that WWE gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would totally be down for playing in something. A golf tournament that gives out a belt would be fucking dope.
I'm sure there's a lot. I think I know some friend groups that actually do that amongst themselves.
I heard about that for fantasy. It was a thing now, but... I feel like belts should replace trophies.
That belts are cool. Belts are cool. You're a badass.
I feel like...
But the concept of the championship wrestling belt is kind of hilarious, right? It's just, even for boxing, why is it a belt? Makes no sense.
Does it hold up your shorts?
Yeah, who came up with that?
What's the purpose of this huge belt with this gold? What's the purpose of it?
Yeah, what is the history behind the belt?
Yeah, I'm curious. I get a medal. Medal makes sense. A belt?
Yeah, Wikipedia after this. That's a solid question.
But the thing about belts that's really cool is the way you raise it after you win, right? It looks so, like, so much better. But it's better.
Sure, it feels rewarding too. And you wear it. You walk around wearing it. It's like a sash.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I get that. You wear it like a medal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need more belts in sports, is what I'm hearing.
It's just more in your face, especially when you have a bunch. Like my boy Sukhdeep.
Your boy, he demoted you from cousin. He's like, hey, I heard your last podcast. We're not cousins, brother. Yeah, friend.
Yeah. You distant, mofo.
Yeah. Friend. All right. Final thing I'm curious about. You guys see these Apple goggles that got demonstrated or released? Or
you mean the ski glasses?
The ski goggles.
Yeah.
$3,500 US is their starting point price. What you guys think? VR the future. Is Apple going to bring it into every home?
The price thing's not a big deal. I don't know why everybody's crying about the price.
And I don't know why this is considered cool, but the Google glasses, which are smaller and more normal looking, are not. We're like, that got shut down really quick.
I mean... It was, I think the Google glasses were just ahead of their time. They were they came out in 2011.
Yeah.
And, you know, the technology.
Your whole iOS, everything's built in, right?
Yeah, it's, and they got like so many like mini cameras watching your eyes and being able to like the technology itself was impressive enough, but when I'm like watching people demo how it's used, I'm like, imagine sitting at home and you have like three people just rocking those goggles.
But what if they're watching a huge sports game or something?
Yeah, but like at that point, aren't you better off taking your goggles off and then just like watching it on TV? If you're like, it really made this thing that we do socially very antisocial.
I'm sure.
Okay, from a product standpoint, fine. I mean, sure, that could be debated. The price is what everybody's like laughing at, but I'm like, have you priced out one of their computers? It's pretty reasonable price. Like it falls in line with all their products, right? It's
not Apple Premium, yeah.
It's not a surprise, and obviously that price will go down as the product becomes more popular. But from a usage standpoint, yeah, it's a bit weird, but I'm sure they have their reasons. They haven't been wrong too often, so.
I got to disagree with you, Robbie, on the usage thing. Only because when iPhone first came out, like touchscreen, everything was like all pretty new. And other than be cool to like do that, there weren't a lot of apps. Right, they kind of left it out to the market to find uses for like the rotation, mm-hmm. The camera, everything to integrate it and make it all work and find uses for it. I think now, you know, there's probably people like, what the hell am I going to use it for? Like, why do I need this spatial computing? But I'm sure people will start developing apps, and like that's the real maybe money maker for them too. It's like they're going to slowly have... They have this new platform now, a new plane, and now apps will start coming out slowly, and they'll make use of this new tool or new like computing style, and it'll take it to the next level. And so then 5 years after it's out, it's like, what were we doing before this was here? Like we were Neanderthals, right? It might be...
So one thing that's interesting is they're coming up against like Facebook's MetaQuest VR set, which is... fraction of the price. I think those are selling for $600. And what was interesting is people like jumped into the whole, yeah, VR is the future and Meta's behind it. We got to buy land and real estate in Meta. And you know, you heard about these ridiculous amounts of like money people are spending on like virtual real estate. But now you have like Apple comes out and now none of that's transferable because Apple has their own ecosystem of stuff. So
it's
like a whole new universe, right?
It'll be a fanboy product first, and then we'll see if there's actual real applications that come out of it. But yeah, I think I was telling one of my coworkers the price. He goes, "I'll just stay in reality." I started laughing. I'm like, "That's gonna be funny." He goes, "That's a lot of money." I'm like, "Fair enough."
So, but one of the comments that Apple made that actually kind of, you know, I was like, that wouldn't make sense." Was they're like, "Listen, these are $3,500, but if you're rocking this, you don't need fancy ass monitors and you don't need a fancy ass big screen TV because that's what you get. This is
all in there." Yeah.
In there. And I'm like, okay, that fair enough. A nice big screen TV is, you know, $1,400 usually. If you go cheaper, you can get it lower. But you know, a 75 inch TV, you're looking at $1,300 minimum.
And what a way to bring people back into your retail space.
Yeah. Just so a demo. Smart. People want to try it.
Just a demo of the product coming, because the only way you're gonna be like, I gotta experience what this is like. And there's gonna be a lineup. And they'll be in the Apple store, and I bet you'll drive more sales. So
yeah,
it's actually pretty smart on that part. So.
And obviously when cool tech like Apple's comes out, you know, I go down these little rabbit holes trying to see what else is going on. I was introduced to something that's actually out in the public right now, and you can get them for $500. And there's like, it's not just one brand. There's like a few competing brands that make almost an identical product, which are glasses like the one I'm wearing right now, except there's a screen, like it's a second layer attached to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you get, they say the equivalent of having a 105 inch screen available to you.
That can be good for your eyes, no?
I don't know.
I just saw them come out, like, yeah.
Is it? Tell us.
Well, having a screen close to your eyes. I mean, we'll see, right?
Google goggles, Apple goggles, they can be good for your eyes, no?
That's the whole point, right? But even like now that on some of the iPads, they're putting a distance warning for children because they're saying don't keep it too close. I mean, the research is kind of all over the place about proximity and whatnot, but you know, some of the research is going to come out in another 10 years. It's coming out now, but to what real effect all these screens have had on people's vision. And you know, there's
studies. I just remember growing up and our parents be like, you know, don't sit too close to the TV.
Yeah, but I mean, that was pretty
funny. And then there you go.
Yeah.
So I was looking at these glasses that I saw, the, you know, these kind of knockoff VR glasses. And I'm like, you know what, $500? The one I saw was like $399, actually, it was $400. So I'm like, this is pretty affordable. But the use case that someone really pushed was them on an airplane with them on. And I'm like, you know what, on an airplane where you just want to zone out into your own little box, this is, I can see this. Like, I know airplanes have like that small little TV screen. This is a big ass TV screen in front of you. You put AirPods on, you're good. If you're working, you can get like three virtual monitors going. I can see that.
Are you typing on this as well?
No. You can get a keyboard. You can physically use a keyboard. You can physically use your computer, except you don't need monitors. The monitor screen is being projected through your glasses. So I'm like, you know, for a normal pair like this, you're not wearing giant ass goggles. I can see that. Like, I can see something convenient.
Without looking at their fingers? Damn. I can't.
What?
The screen's going everywhere.
I think with Apple One, you can look.
I think you can move around because it's you can still see in front of you.
So it's with the Apple ones, because they have so many monitors in them or so many cameras, they can create virtual, like display a virtual keyboard on the ground where your eyes would look down, and you know, you'd have that same sort of, you could look down and your monitors would stay there and they wouldn't follow your head.
I'm telling you, we're becoming those Wall-E humans. It's just slowly but surely we're getting there.
Oh man, the future is great.
Is it?
Holy shit, yeah, boys. You covered a lot of topics today.
We're all over the map. We didn't have a focus. We didn't have a guest to like lead us down one specific path. But hey,
I kind of like this bi-weekly format. It kind of it's kind of fresh. I don't know. What's the feedback from the peoples?
Hey, you peoples, leave some comments, man. We need comments on our shit. It helps us boost all our metrics. Leave comments.
Yeah, and I want to say our armchair takes on the real estate market are sponsored by Sanj.
If you've made it this far, Sanj, here's your shout out.
Oh, yeah. Sanj's listening, for sure. Or his brother might be.
I'm going to message us like a day after releases about how stupid we all are and how bad our takes are on real estate.
That's one of my favorite things about this podcast is being reminded of just how dumb I am like 2 days later.
But those same people don't want to come on and talk.
I was like, debate me. No, because that's my new thing. Yeah, I always say, they're like, yo, man, what's your take? Your take's so dumb. Like, say it publicly. Say it with your chest out.
But you listened.
Hey, man, I appreciate everyone who listens, even if they think I'm a dumbass. So on that note.
Yes.
Cheers, boys.
All right, guys. Peace.
All right.
Oh, yo, we got to do that golf tournament this year.
I'm done.
Feel like.
Whenever.
July is the only month I can do it, boys. I'm sorry.
Let's do October.
That's going to be cold.
Yeah. Oh,
perfect golf weather. End of September.
Mid-September, maybe. October is cold, bro. I got to wear a sweater and shit.
Yeah, we could have a bad day in October. I'm fine for September. I'm okay with September.
I like September. Yeah.
All right, September. You can't make any excuses.
Bring
your GoPros.
If motherfuckers liked and subscribed and left comments and our podcast blew up, we could do this as a charity tournament and call it the biggest shitter. Actually have like multiple teams. But you listeners out here are not doing your job in spreading our gospel. So the onus is on you.
Dildeep said he would come with us. I think he said he'd be the fourth.
He said he'd hold our cameras and laugh at us the whole time.
There we go.
So anyways, we'd have a championship belt. If we did a golf tournament, this is where my mind goes. If we did a golf tournament.
Now we're spending money on a belt.
We don't have money for anything.
No budget.
We'd find sponsors, no? Someone, I mean, if it got... You know who the perfect sponsor would be? A plumbing company. We could find a plumbing...
the big shitter tournament.
Life is beautiful. All right, boys. See you guys in a few weeks. Cheers.
Peace. It's a big shitter.